right, brethren. John chapter 3 is where we'll begin. Last hour, we tried to focus on Christ being the faithful witness, as he revealed there in verse 13. Today, or this hour, I want to focus on Christ being the substitute of his people. He said in verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Now the Lord took Nicodemus back to a passage of scripture that he should have been familiar with, a scripture from the Old Testament on the brazen serpent in the wilderness. This is a picture. It's a type, and it's meant to glorify Christ. It's a picture and type of Christ. He said there, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He must go to the cross. He must be lifted up on the cross. That was an absolute necessity. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. That means every single person born of Adam shall die under the justice of God, because we've all sinned. We all shall. How then can God save a sinner who deserves to die? How can God be holy and remain holy and just and show mercy to a sinner to whom God's own justice says he must die? If he shows him mercy without satisfying his justice, he'd cease to be holy. If he shows him justice without showing him mercy, the sinner's just going to die under condemnation. But how can God do both? How can he be merciful to a sinner and be just in doing so? Christ must be lifted up. The Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever, Jew or Gentile, whosoever believeth on him, there's the focus, whoever believes on him, should not perish, but have eternal life, freely as a gift of God. The wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. We earn death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This is a gift. God gave his only begotten Son. He gave the one who saves his people. And he gives eternal life. He gives the life inside the believer, the faith to the believer, to believe on his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. Everything about our salvation is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. And thank God it's so, because we could not earn it. We could not merit this. We just couldn't. Go with me now to Numbers 21, and let's look at this. We've looked at it several times in the past, but it's such a beautiful picture. Numbers 21, verse 4. "And they, the children of Israel, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" They said that to God by saying it to Moses. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in this wilderness? For there is no bread." Listen to this. We contradict ourselves. Listen to this. "There's no bread, neither any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." There's no bread except this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." You notice what they asked for? Just take the serpents away from us. That's not what the Lord did for them. The Lord is gracious to not give us what we ask for. He didn't take the serpents away. He doesn't take you out of this world of sin. He doesn't take you out of your body of sin. But he does something better. Watch this. And the Lord, verse 8, the Lord said, end of verse 7. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass, and he put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, first of all, we see the problem. We see the problem. This is our problem. This is the world's problem. This is our personal problem. It is our own rebellion against God. That's our problem. Our rebellion against God. We sinned against God. Verse 5, the people spake against God and against Moses. "Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread, there's not any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread." They spoke against God, so that the first cause of their problem is seen right here, and this is the first cause of our problem. We sinned against God. That's our problem. We sinned against God. The people spake against God, and they spoke against Moses. Moses here, he was the one through whom God gave the law, so he's a picture of the law. And Moses was a prophet, so he's a picture of the Word of God, the whole gospel of God. So you have here God and the law and all his Word. And they spake against it. And wasn't that our transgression? In the garden, in Adam, whenever Adam, as the federal head of his people, the man in whom his people were, whom all people were, every child that would be born of Adam, Adam broke God's law. He spoke against God and he spoke against the law. He transgressed the law. He broke the law. And when he did that, the result was sin and death. Sin entered and death by sin. He said there in verse 6, we see it pictured here. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and the much people of Israel died. And you just picture that scene. You picture that scene. And this is just like us. We get discouraged in the way, and we begin to murmur, and we begin to murmur. And they were murmuring against God, and they were murmuring against Moses. And they thought it was bad before. The Lord sent fiery serpents among them. Fiery serpents among them. And they began to bite the people. And the people, you know, the snake, when he bites and that venom enters into your bloodstream, and it just courses through your whole body, and just in a short order goes through your whole body, and the body begins to swell, and you begin to burn, and you begin to thirst, and you die. That poison. Well, that serpent in the wilderness is the devil. And you know, whenever Adam sinned, he plunged himself and his race into total depravity, into sin and death, and came under the curse. That serpent was the curse. He came under the curse, the sin, the breaking of the law. That's the curse and the condemnation. And rather than much people in Israel dying, all died. When that happened, all died. Romans 5:12 says, "As by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. In Adam, all have sinned. See, the way we became guilty before God is in a representative head. Now listen, sinner, the only way you're going to be saved is by a representative head. That's God's order. That's how God made it. We all sinned in Adam. The only way He's going to save His people is by Christ Jesus, the head of His people. That's the only way. And that's what He's showing us here. Now, God had given them bread from heaven. That's what that light bread was. He gave them bread from heaven. Christ is the bread from heaven. They complained of no water. God had provided them water. And the rock that followed them that was smitten through from which the rock, the water came out, that's a picture of Christ. Paul said that rock was Christ. Christ said that bread is Him. He's the bread from heaven. But they loathed the bread. They complained that they didn't have water. They didn't have bread. And what it was is they hated the bread God provided. How many times do sinners start out claiming to believe on Christ and before long they're complaining, their soul hates the bread. All we hear is Christ crucified. All we keep hearing preached is Christ crucified. Give us some other bread. Give us something else. Well, there was no cure for these fiery serpents. We can't produce a cure for the guilt and condemnation of sin. We can't do it. We can't put away our sin. We can't justify ourselves. We can't bring ourselves out from under the condemnation of God. You and I just can't do that. We've sinned. We're guilty. That's the end of the story. If God leaves us to ourselves, we must die under the justice of God. That means if we're going to be saved, it's going to be by God's grace. Grace is God giving you what you don't deserve. Nobody God saves deserves to be saved. It's by grace. It's by God's freely, sovereignly choosing whom He will. That's who He saves. And if I don't like that, the reason I don't like that is I'm saying, I think I could cure myself of these fiery serpents. You can't, and I can't. We're going to have to be saved by God's grace. God's going to get the glory for every bit of salvation from beginning to end. He gets the glory. That's the whole point, is to bring a people to glorify God for everything. We can't brag on ourselves. We can't boast in ourselves. We can't claim we saved ourselves in any shape, form, or fashion. Again, God every now and then shows us that by giving us providence that we can't do anything about. And that's the purpose, to show us we're helpless to save ourselves, brethren. The important thing is the holding we can't save ourselves spiritually. That's the important thing. And sometimes He shows you that physically to make you see that spiritually. That's what He was doing here. He physically sent serpents. They couldn't save themselves. We're going to have to be saved by God's grace. And so look at what they did. They're dying. They see all these people dying around. Sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. If God leaves us to ourselves, we're going to sin, and we're going to die. We're spiritually dead by nature, and we're physically dying. And we're going to die physically. And if God hasn't done something for us by His grace, after that is the second death, where He condemns us forever. So we're dependent on God's grace. The natural mind says, why preach that to a sinner to tell him he can't do anything? That won't make him do anything. Well, you see, that's what we're trying to get sinners to do, is to stop trying to do something. A sinner will do anything you give him to do except nothing but believe on Christ to do the saving. And God said, you tell these dry bones, these dry dead bones that can't do anything, you tell them to live and come to Christ and believe on Christ. And He said, and as you preach that message, I will give My Spirit and I'll give them life and I'll bring them to Christ. I'll give them life. That's why we preach it. This is the message of God, the message that glorifies God alone. That's the message he's going to use. So these people are brought to see they can't do anything for themselves. That's where we got to be brought. And when they were brought there, they went to Moses. They went to the one they were just speaking against. They went to Moses. And here's how a sinner's going to be saved. He's going to bring you to come to Christ, who is God in human flesh, God at God's right hand, the one we've been speaking against, the one we were rejecting, the one we were denying. We're going to have to be brought to him. And they came to him, and they asked him for mercy. They asked him to intercede for them. We're going to have to be brought to the God we rejected, the God we spake against, is the God we're going to have to be brought to and ask him to intercede on our behalf. Now the Lord told Moses to make a serpent and lift it up on a pole. Verse 8, the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it up on a pole. And so in verse 9, Moses made a serpent of brass and he put it up on a pole. Now, who provided the cure? Who provided the remedy? The Lord did. They didn't know what to do. There was nothing they could do. Who provided the cure? The Lord did. He told Moses, make a serpent of brass. The very thing that was causing the death was a serpent. He said, you make a serpent of brass and raise it up on a pole. Lift it up on a pole. Now, in eternity, before God made anything, you don't think God made the world and put sinners in it and let sinners sin and become rebels against God and then left it up to sinners, do you? Of course he didn't. Before he ever made anything, it says the works were finished from the beginning. God chose his son. He provided the one who would do the saving. He provided the cure. He provided the remedy. He chose his son and chose his people and his son. And his son agreed to come forth and lay down his life for his people. That's why Christ told Nicodemus, no man's ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven. Even the Son of Man, which is right now in heaven. He was telling Nicodemus, my work's eternal, Nicodemus. I've already ascended. I've descended. And I'm right now in heaven. Don't you know Nicodemus couldn't understand the new birth? He couldn't understand the wind blowing where it will when he told him earthly things. Don't you know when the Lord told him that, Nicodemus' head was spinning. What was he saying? He was saying, whom God did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conform to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom he did foreknow, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified. He's telling him, all of that's in the past tense. The work's been finished since he chose me to do the saving. Before they ever looked to the serpent, before the serpent's ever lifted up on a pole, before they even know there's a cure yet, God told Moses, I provided the cure. And that's so with God. Now, how's he going to be just and be merciful? How's he going to pour out justice and execute you and me who are sinners and yet be merciful to us and give us eternal life? He told Moses, make a serpent of brass, that very thing that was causing the death, lifted up on a pole. So this serpent was made of brass in the likeness of these fiery serpents. Now the only way to save his people was for the Lord Jesus Christ to be made like unto his brethren. That's the only way. He said in Hebrews 2:17, in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. Why? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God. That he might represent us to God. If he's going to save men and women who are flesh and blood, he's got to be made flesh and blood. Sinless flesh and blood. First Adam was made without sin and upright in a garden with no sin. The last Adam came into a world and he was holy without sin in a world full of sin. But he had to be made like his brethren so that he could be the God-man, representing God and representing his people and bringing us together in one. That he might be a faithful and merciful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of his people. Romans 8:3, what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. They couldn't go to God's law and cure themselves of these serpents. And God didn't tell them, now, you've got the Ten Commandments, cure yourself of these serpents. They couldn't. That's the picture. We've broken the law. That's why we're under the curse. We can't cure ourselves. And so what the law could not do because of our weakness, because of our sin and our weakness, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. God says, you're getting bit by fiery serpents. Now you make a brass serpent and lift it up on a pole. Make the likeness of that which is killing them and lift it up on a pole. A serpent of brass had no venom. Christ Jesus knew no sin. He came forth holy without sin. And He never was corrupted. He never became a rebel against God in Himself. He never did. He's holy. But God had them make a serpent like what was biting them and lifted up on a pole. And Christ said He must be lifted up, just like that brazen serpent. That's why He came. God hath made Him, the Lord Jesus, sin for us, for His people. This one who knew no sin, He made Him sin for us that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what we're seeing pictured in this brazen serpent. In the garden, the serpent was cursed of God. And here you have Christ, a picture of Christ made a curse for His people. When He was made sin for His people, God looked at Him as the only one representing all His people. Just like when Adam sinned, God looked at Adam as the only one representing all His people. He sinned, He was guilty, and so all His children were. And the Lord looked at Christ, and here's one who's bearing the sin of all His people. A particular people. He's bearing their sin. And why is that important? Because He's not just dying for sin ambiguously. He's dying for His people. His name's Jesus, Savior, for He shall save His people from their sins. And that's what He was doing. The Lord didn't provide this serpent in the wilderness for everybody in the world. He provided it for the children of Israel. They're the only ones that saw their need. He'd given them a need, and He provided them a Savior. And the Lord provided Christ to lay down His life for His people. And Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, having been made a curse for us. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Cursed is everyone that's lifted up on a cross. Christ said, I must be lifted up on that cross. Brethren, that's what Christ meant when He said, I must be lifted up. That's what He was talking about. There's no other way for God to be just. God poured out wrath on Him, justice on Him. And He died. And Paul said in first person, I am crucified with Christ. Can you say that? If you believe on Him, you can. If you truly believe Him by the Spirit of His grace, you can. Because this is so for all His people. For everybody Christ represented. When God poured out justice on His Son, I was crucified that day. Judgment. Everybody's afraid of the judgment. Natural men are just terrified of the coming judgment, and should be. Going to stand before God and going to be judged of God. Well, for the believer, our judgment took place on Calvary's cross. We were judged, and we died. He suffered what would have been an eternal hell for us in 3 hours of darkness separated from God, and He ended it. He ended it. Paul said in Romans 6, you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God. Our Lord Jesus Christ, when He died, we really died in Him. And when He arose, we arose in Him. If we could get this, brethren, I'm telling you, if we could get this, we're as real. God said you were in Christ over 2,000 years ago on that cross. That's what He says to His people. And it's so. We were. We were. And as real as we were in Him, we're now seated at God's right hand in glory. That's what he's conveying to you and me when He said, if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're not in the flesh. You know, all we can see is our sin. We keep seeing, looking at the serpents, and we keep seeing the venomous bite in us because we're sinners. But brethren, here's the thing. Your old man is dead before God. Until I get that, I won't treat you mercifully. Until I get that, I just won't do it. You got to see this. You got to understand this. God is continuously, every second of every day, being merciful to you for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, because every second of every day, all you are in yourself is sin. Me too. Why can He be merciful to me? How can it be just to be merciful to me? I've already died. Christ already paid for that sin. It's already put away. And God says, I'm righteous in Him. You too, who know Him, who believe Him. That's when you don't know a man after the flesh, but after the Spirit, when you know that's so about him. That'll make you just hate yourself when you don't act like you ought to act, when you don't treat somebody like you ought to treat them. It will. That's, people say, oh, you can't preach that. You tell them their sin's already paid for. They'll just go out and sin. Not when God's working in His people. You're going to sin. That's going to happen. But this is the message that turns you from that. Constantly beholding Christ lifted up, and you there lifted up in Him. There's no other way. God set Him forth to be propitiation, satisfaction through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness, that He's just and He is the justifier of His people. That's why He said in Romans 8, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justified them. It's Christ that redeemed them. It's Christ who's interceding for them at God's right hand. That'll affect our entire way of dealing with our brethren. It does. It does. The law's satisfied. Now, seeing this work's finished, seeing He justified His people, what's then left for His people to do? What do His people do? How are they going to be saved? How are they going to enjoy this and be saved from this venomous bite of this serpent? God told them, now get this, to just look at that serpent. That's it. Look at the serpent. Behold him. The picture is, believe him. He said there in verse 8, in the second part, it shall come to pass that everyone that's bitten, now that's the only people that's going to look. Only when you know you've been bitten and you're dead and dying, that's the only time you're going to look. But everybody that's bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Verse 9, second part, it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now, Arthur Pink has some good points on this. What were they not told to do? Well, they were not told to produce their own cure to heal their wounds. That's what churches are being taught around the world today, is instead of looking to Christ only, that there's, well, you can look, but now there's some things you're going to have to do to cure your wounds. Some works you're going to have to do. He didn't tell them that. They weren't told that they'd be healed by ministering and serving others. That's huge, you know. You minister and serve others. God's people will minister and serve others. But here's what our ministering, serving, and serving's about. It's to try to help our brethren who are overtaken in sin, or those that are overtaken in the cares of this world, or whatever it is that's turning them to look at the serpent and at the sin and at themselves and at the trouble, is to help serve them to turn them from them to Christ. To Christ. If I'm turning you from Christ and saying, now look from Christ and look to you, and there's something you must do, or there's something that you, that's something about you that's going to cure this, that's not the gospel. The gospel is look to Christ. That's what our serving's about, is to help our brethren look to Christ. Look to Christ. Only to Him. We're not told to fight the serpents. You can fight your sin. You can mortify your body. You can become a monk and go off into some wilderness somewhere and live in a house where nobody's around and there's no television and no radio and none of the things that people associate with sin. But the problem is, you're going to be there and you're the sin. You can't fight these snakes. We're not told to make an offering to the serpent on the pole. There's nothing for you to do to make yourself ready to come to Christ. You can't prepare yourself to come to Christ. That's what a lot of people think. Well, I'm going to clean up my act a little bit, and I'm going to believe on the Lord. I'm going to join the church. No. The Lord said, I didn't come to call the righteous to repentance. I came to call sinners. All you need is for the Lord to have made you see you've been bitten. And you're dead, and you can't cure yourself. You're a sinner. You're a vile, God-hating, godless sinner. When you see that, come to Christ. He'll receive you. He'll receive you. That's totally foreign to our thinking, but that's God. He said, come to me. I'll receive you. They weren't told to come to Moses and say a prayer. That's a big thing. People come to the preacher and they say a prayer and they take them in the back and they got people trained up to help them pray. And then they tell you, now you've been born again. Now you believe the Lord. They were told themselves, you look to the serpent. You look to Christ on the cross. You look to Him. They weren't told to look to the law, and they weren't told to look to their wounds. There's something about this where sinners start thinking that the more they mourn and they constantly mourn and they constantly talk about their sin and how bad they are and that doesn't do anything. That doesn't save you. What saves us? Look to Christ. Go to Him. He said, look to the serpent on the pole and those that did live. And there's nothing else except looking to Christ. And there's where He gives you life. He said back in John 3:14, back there with me, John 3:14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, there's the look, believe in Him, shall not perish, but have eternal life. Life. For God so, after this manner, this is how God loved His people all over the world right here. He gave His only begotten Son. He provided the cure, and it's His Son. That whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He didn't send His Son to condemn us. He didn't lift that serpent up on a pole to condemn anybody. They were already bitten and dying. He gave that serpent on the pole so that they would live. And Christ came not to condemn His people. He came to save His people. We were condemned already. He came to save us. And He says, you believe on Him and you shall be saved. Listen to this from Isaiah 45:21. He said, there's no God else beside me. This is it, brethren. This is the way. You've heard the way. The truth and the life. There's no way to come to God but this right here. He said, there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. This is the just way to save. Just God and a Savior. There's none beside me. And here He says, look unto me and be ye saved. That's so passive. Look to me and be ye saved. Look to me, believe me, and trust me. To do all the saving. He has, He is, He shall. And all the ends of the earth, wherever you are, He said, this is how I'm saving. I'm God, and there is none else. And I pray God today make you see, first of all, make us see, we've been bitten. We've been bitten. The venom is in us. And if we try to cure it or do anything to cure our neighbor or ourselves, whatever, we're going to both die. There's one cure, that's Christ. Look to Christ, believe on Christ, and you'll be saved. And I pray God give us grace to do that. All right, Brother Greg.